sprinkle personal stories throughout the book, and you're really upfront about mistakes that you made as a manager. So I was wondering if you could give some examples of lessons that you learned the hard way.
Oh, absolutely. When I was a baby manager, I thought that I could compliment everyone into high performance. And it really was about wanting people to like me. I thought I seized on that phrase, catch people doing something good and tell them. But that's all I did. And so when I really had to sit down with people about underperformance, they didn't know why this suddenly came out of the blue when all they'd been hearing about was how well they had done. That's an easy mistake to make. But probably my biggest mistake of all was that I was an inveterate fixer. I thought the best thing I could do was to take people's work and rewrite it for them to improve it. I could show them how it could be better by doing it, and frankly, I could show off a little. And what I realized was that I was never teaching. I was fixing, and I had to learn to be a coach. And that takes many more skills than just doing your old job for other people who now do that job. It really takes being able to pass on an understanding of what makes good writing or good IT or good banking or good medicine, and to do it in a way that the other person discovers it.
You write in the book about something called the evil twin. What is the evil twin?
Each boss has an evil twin. It's the person that their employees and their colleagues are seeing unbeknownst to them because they haven't adequately expressed their own good intentions, or they're poorly executing something they're trying to do. That was my problem when I was perceived to be, for example, micromanaging. And it happens, for example, when someone says, I'm a person with high standards. Your evil twin is impossible to please because you really haven't executed well when you're telling people how to reach those high standards. You're just seen as relentlessly negative. So your evil twin is the wrong side of the good thing you're trying to accomplish.
You also write a lot about how to give feedback to the people that you are managing. So I was wondering if you could read from your book, page 172, the feedback oath.
The great boss's feedback oath. I, as an aspiring great boss, do solemnly promise all workers that unless I'm about to undergo surgery and I'm talking to my anesthesiologist, I will never say the following words. If you don't hear from me, assume you're doing a good job. Now, you know what I'm trying to get across there. There are so many bosses who say that. Well, what are they really saying? They're saying, I would like you to sanction my neglect. I won't tell you what you're doing well, but if you see me coming, it's not a good sign.
Because then the only time that they would have any kind of communication is to say that something's wrong.
That's right. Now, let me be clear. Autonomy, the idea of being given a long leash and the ability to execute one's own ideas, that's actually very motivating. But being told, I'm going to have nothing to do with you, is different from a boss saying, tell me what you're working on. Wow, that sounds good. And giving you feedback. That's still giving people autonomy, but it's also staying in touch.
You write a lot about emotional intelligence, the mm-hmm. importance of soft skills like listening, reading people, understanding different personalities. But a lot of that seems to be something that you're either born with or you're not. So can people really learn that?
You absolutely can learn it. In fact, there's a lot of literature now, contemporary literature, about the neuroplasticity of our brains. You can practice to become better at listening, for example. It takes a conscious effort to put your desire to speak in pause mode and let some things hang in the air, for example, without finishing a sentence for someone or interrupting or correcting them.
In looking at your book as a whole, it seems that one thing kind of leaps out at me, which is that a lot of being a good manager kind of boils down to being a nice person. You should be considerate. You should be thoughtful. Give praise where praise is due. I mean, am I being overly simplistic?
I know nice bosses who aren't effective because they're too nice. and so you have to know how to have a baseline of social capital with people so that when you do have to put the hammer down, they'll understand it's for their own good and for the good of the organization.
Jill Geisler is the author of Work Happy, What Great Bosses Know. Thanks so much for talking with me, Jill.
You're very welcome, Ashley.
I'm Ashley Gross, KPLU News.